The opinions expressed on this program do not reflect the views and opinions of Audio Journal, its board of directors, staff, or volunteer readers. Thank you for listening to Audio Journal.
You are listening to Sports Roundtable.
Hi, everyone, and welcome once again to Sports Roundtable. I am Bob Branco. Glad to be with everybody today, as usual. This is episode 443, dated Monday, May 18th, 2026. Before we continue, let me introduce our panel members that we have thus far. We start out with Mitch Pomerantz.
Good afternoon. It's from beautiful downtown Pasadena. It's in the low 70s. It's beautiful. We got all the windows open. And I'll go on a minor rant down the road, folks, about it's happening to the Dodgers again. Our pitching staff is getting decimated. But otherwise, it's a beautiful day here.
We are about to have a mini heat wave. A couple of days of temperatures near 90 in the Boston area, but 70s at the coast. Just a prerequisite or a prelude to our summer. We have a little tease going on. Then it's going to get mighty chilly by the weekend, according to what I heard today. Don Wardlow. Don Wardlow, are you there? Okay, Reverend Michael Garrett.
Well, I am here, and welcome from Missouri City, Texas, where it is about 88 degrees. Depending on who you listen to, it's either partly cloudy or partly sunny. So when I walked out a few minutes ago, I felt the sun. So it's a partly sunny day. And we're in for a lot of rain this weekend, this week. So we need it.
Don Wardlow, are you back?
He's unmuted.
Don? Well, while Don is...
Now he's mute. Don, now you muted yourself.
Oh. While he's doing that, let me just tell everyone, Peter Altschul is scheduled to join us momentarily. We still have no word on the return of Luther King, so I have nothing new to report as far as his medical issues are concerned. I want to thank those people who make it possible for Sports Roundtable to be aired. We start out with Raymond Gay, who is our executive editor and producer. Thank you for what you do. Also, Peter from Canada. Thank you for posting our shows on one of your chat boards. It's much appreciated. Our media outlets, we appreciate you airing us when you do. And, of course, Jacqueline Sylvia from JS Web Solutions, who archives our shows on my website. In order for you to find them, go to www.brancoevents.com. Arrow down until you get to Sports Roundtable Podcast. Click on them, and you will see most of our archived programs from latest to earliest. And as Peter would say if he were here, merci, Jackie. Let me thank Cindy for being our host for today's show, along with Brad, who is our streamer. And because we are being streamed, let me give out my email address for those people who would like to write us here at Sports Roundtable. We always depend on our listeners to tell us what they think. It's very important to us how they feel about it. It's bobbranco93@gmail.com. That's bobbranco93@gmail.com. We are expecting a guest. He's going to be late if he comes at all. His name is Trent Ferguson. We'll find out more about Trent when he or if he arrives. In the meantime, I have a little bit of a rant. It's not going to take long, but I'm hearing a lot of talk about the crazy National Football League upcoming schedule. They're all over the place. You've got games during the week, games on the other side of the world. As it is, the Patriots and Seahawks are opening up on a Wednesday because there's a game in Australia the next night. Can anybody enlighten me further about this crazy National Football League schedule coming up?
Bob, there's only a one-word answer. M-O-N-E-Y.
Yep.
Should have thought of that.
the Rams and Niners are playing over there. Presumably, if they have, for example, a pre-Thanksgiving Wednesday game, you would hope that the two teams would either have played the previous Saturday, so they at least get 3 days off, or had bye weeks, which is possible. But the old expression, somebody's going to get killed out there. I saw the thing that you posted about will OSHA. Yeah, will OSHA get involved in monitoring on-field activities? And maybe they should monitor on-field activities in baseball. But, you know, that's what this is all about. They want to set up a league in Europe again. And you know, going to Australia, it's crazy. If you have a couple of billion, isn't that enough? Apparently not.
I would say that's more than enough, way more than enough. I don't know what some of these people want. There's so much greed in sports today. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. Any other thoughts?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we've got some noise in the background.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, with some noise in the background, some kind of a motor.
Okay, stand by.
Anyway, yeah.
My comments on that, Bob, is the physical toll that it's taking on these players. Well, you know, I'm a Cowboys fan, and looking at the schedule that the Cowboys have, it's daunting. Early in the season, they're playing three games in 11 days, and then this is before the Thanksgiving trifecta that they always have to deal with. And those games have historically, pre-Thanksgiving Day games have always occurred on that Sunday. They don't start playing on Saturday until December because they have a deal with the NCAA that they don't start playing on Saturday until after the regular college football season.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it takes a physical toll on those guys, I believe.
Yes. We have some really bad noise coming on here. Really bad noise. We need to cut that down. Wow. Don?
I'm not sure what that is.
I'm trying to fix it.
Okay. Could you mute while you're fixing it, please? Thank you. I appreciate that. So anyway, Mitch, you were going to tell us about something that's happening with the Dodgers, and I get the feeling I know what it is, but you can say it anyway.
I'll start by saying that the worst team in baseball is about an hour drive down the road in Anaheim. Dodgers swept them. If they hadn't swept them, I would have been very unhappy. They outscored the Angels in this three-game series by 4 touchdowns, 31-3.
Sure.
The Angels are a sad, sad franchise. But the Dodgers are now down two highly paid starting pitchers, Glasnow and Blake Snell, who went on the injured list. He's going to have surgery tomorrow morning for loose bodies in his elbow.
Oh,
it may be similar to the surgery Edwin Diaz had a month ago, and they actually do expect him back in August. And then over the weekend, Jack Dreyer went on the IL with inflammation in his shoulder. They're saying it is not structural. But the Dodgers, last year, I think we used 36 pitchers all season. We were doing really well up until about 3 weeks ago. We are now up to 21 pitchers, including guys that I had never heard of, and I do follow baseball pretty closely. The Dodgers just made a cash deal with Toronto, I think late Saturday, to pick up a guy that we knocked around in the series, I think, Eric Lauer.
He's a relief pitcher.
a relief pitcher, a left-handed relief pitcher. It's just amazing. Andrew Friedman, if he isn't the best president slash GM in baseball, he's in the top three, but for some reason, all of these pitchers that he signs end up having some kind of shoulder, elbow, arm trouble. And I wonder, in football, when a player is traded or when a player is signed, they do physicals. They do really intensive, thorough physicals. And that's why the linebacker for the Raiders didn't get traded to Baltimore. And his name escapes me, but he's a very good linebacker, but they found something physically wrong with him. Does MLB, do the teams not really check these fellas out before they sign them to multi-million dollar contracts or trade for them?
They do. Well, that's how the Mets did not sign Kumar Rocco, who's now with the Rangers. And if that noise is still there, I can turn off the air conditioning.
Yes, it's still there. It is still there. Well, look at what our general manager does. The Boston Red Sox general manager. He signs guys that can't pitch for an entire year. He's paying Patrick Sandoval $18 million in 2 years to do what? To just sit there and watch the games? Oh, whoa, that's interesting. So it's got to be something. And we're supposed to have this collective bargaining agreement coming up maybe within the next year or so. A lot of this stuff should be put on the agenda at some point during those meetings. I'm serious.
Well, the injury picture is goes beyond pitchers stuff.
I mean, it does. I agree with you. It does.
Astros have 14 guys, even though we're going to get two guys back supposedly today against Minnesota, Pena and Jake Myers. But we lost Altuve with an oblique injury. Don't know how long he's going to be out. But we've had, if you count all the guys, even including Pena and Myers, we've had nine starters plus our ace closer, nine starters out, and we're only getting two back today.
Michael, I heard about Altuve. Mookie just came back from his oblique, and he
Along
was out. He was out about a month,
yeah.
and they said that was the minimum he'd be out. So depending on the seriousness, when he first went down, they said it could be 6 weeks. So
Altuve is a grade two.
I think Mookie's was a grade two as well. So he's gone for a month.
This is a problem throughout the entire sport. We can talk about Dodgers, Houston. We just found out from the Red Sox that Trevor Story has a sports hernia, might be out 6 to 10 weeks. This is endless, folks. It is extremely endless. Now, we could blame it on analytics and science and the computer. I think a lot of people do, because front offices are asking players to perform different from their established skill set, which I think is criminal. I mean, you know how to hit a home run already. Why do you need to practice drive line? You already know how to hit a home run. What's going to make the home run different if you do driveline? I don't get it.
Well, the way some of these guys swing, especially when they're trying to uppercut a baseball, it's easy to injure an oblique. I had an oblique injury for a few weeks last year, and it's not pleasant. And you know, they are giving Mookie, they're bringing him back really slowly, because all it takes is one swing. You just one, and you're a little bit out of alignment, and you're gonna hurt that puppy, and you'll be out for another 2 months.
Can you think, Mitch, or anybody else, that some of this stuff could be addressed during any collective bargaining meetings that come up?
There's only one way, I think, Bob. I think that, first of all, the players in you know, you talk about greedy owners. You got greedy players too.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you reduced the number of games, maybe that would help. If you cut the number of games down maybe to 140, maybe if you increased the roster size, since teams feel obliged to carry 13 pitchers. God, I remember when you used to carry 9, and that was lots.
I remember.
If you're going to carry, you know, when you had a 25-man roster, you had 15 or 16 position players. So now, in order to get to that point, and I'm in the room with our parrot, so you may hear him once in a while.
He might want to participate.
Well, he may, although I'm not sure how much sports he knows. But in order to carry 15 position players, you'd have to increase the roster to 28. And maybe that would help, because in those days, you saw more platooning. You saw guys get some rest. But that's, you know, either increase the rosters or reduce the number of games. And I don't think, you know, I'm a betting man. If I went to Vegas or online and put a bet down on either of those things happening in the next year or not happening in the next year, I'd win a lot of money.
See, I'm always under the impression that you see more platooning and everything else in modern baseball. I have not seen so many lineup changes by any of the teams as often as I've seen in recent times. In the old days, you knew the lineup every day. You expected moves. You play a team, you already know the team's lineup. It was so cool. You knew exactly who was on the opposing roster almost every time you played them.
Yeah, that's probably true. But I also think that in those days, if somebody, players maybe were maybe they weren't as willing to take a day off because they'd become like the guy that Lou Gehrig replaced. But there's something happening now that's causing this rash of injuries.
No, yeah. Back in the day, you talk about people not wanting to take off. Biggio and Bagwell, they almost if they got to the clubhouse and you saw the lineup pasted on the wall, and their names weren't in that lineup. I heard that, boy, they would grab the manager and go, "What do you mean taking me out of the lineup? I'm playing." And they would make him take it off and put them back in the lineup.
They were special. Those two were not normal. That's all there is to it.
I think you're more likely to see a lineup. I mean, a roster change or added to rather than fewer games.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right.
Money. You talked about that earlier. I think they'd lose more money if they shorten the season.
By the way, Craig Biggio, he wouldn't have been quite so adamant about playing every day if he'd stayed a catcher.
A catcher, right. Exactly.
Right now, the guy that you have to drag off the field, and Dave Roberts did it last week, he got a day off, is Freddie Freeman. Freddie is not hitting this year the way he has the last couple, and I'm beginning to think he's a little bit past his peak. We love him. But he's hitting in the 260s, and he's a 290-plus hitter career-wise. But Roberts benched him for a game last week, and he's none too happy about it.
How old is Freddie Freeman?
34?
Oh.
34, something like that?
Go ahead, Michael.
I was saying to Mitch, it's still early in the season, and these guys, we haven't even hit June yet. So by the time they get really warmed up in late July, August, they can smell the playoffs coming. So I think that's when the guys who are, unless their skills are diminishing,
well,
that's when they start to shine.
I just asked the A critter, and I was wrong. Freddie's 36.
Even so, compared to Barry Bonds, he's still a baby.
Yeah, but he doesn't take steroids.
Good point, Mitch.
They might have to bring them back. That might be the only answer to the injury situation.
Yeah, maybe. You think we're seeing a lot of home runs now? Oh, wow.
Yeah, no kidding. And it's concerning because I don't even know what an oblique injury is. I couldn't point to where my oblique was if you asked me to. I just couldn't do it.
Touch your ribs, Don. Touch your ribs.
At the bottom of your ribs.
Is
that where it is?
Muscles. Yeah.
Because I didn't know where. I didn't know where. What are they? The quads and the hamstrings. I didn't know where they were until I ruined my back and I couldn't get up and walk. And suddenly those had like atrophied and I had to do major therapy. And they said, oh, this your quads and your hammies. And I'm like, I didn't know about them. I didn't know where they were. And I guess I didn't mess up the obliques because nobody had me doing anything about them.
Yeah, having pulled both quads and both hams, I can identify with you. That is not a fun time when you're trying to play ball.
And that worries me every time Shohei, and he's only stolen 6 bases this year, thankfully, but every time Shohei tries to steal a base or does a slide, I'm thinking, don't hurt yourself, Shohei. We'd be losing 2 players.
Yeah.
Again, Shohei's not natural. He's not liable to get hurt the way these normal people do.
Well, he already was out for a year pitching-wise.
I was going to say, may I remind you, he didn't pitch for over a year, maybe a year and a half?
That's not the kind of injury I meant. You're correct about that, but
yeah.
He could hit even when his elbow was screwed up. That's not normal.
That's true. Well, he was in a terrible slump for a couple of 3 weeks, but going down to Anaheim kind of rejuvenated him. So Shohei's back, and he'd better stay that way because we got the pods tonight down there for 3 games.
Mitch, is there any truth?
Half game lead on them too.
Correct. Because the Pods swept the Seattle Mariners.
That doesn't take much doing. Remember Raleigh's on the DL when he was just starting to get good again. Doggone it! And then he went on the DL.
Seattle's got good pitching though.
Well, it wasn't good enough. They gave up. I listened to a couple of innings that game. They lost 8-3. I think one of those games was a pitcher's duel. But yesterday's and today. Saturdays and Sundays, I don't think were, but
they were the night game last night. It should have been Paul Skeens against Zach Wheeler. It should have been, but NBC no longer knows what they're doing like they did in the 60s and 70s. They would have had Skeens against Wheeler for the night game, but that didn't happen, and we all saw a blowout on the night game.
Pittsburgh, Philly. Yeah, last weekend was rivalry weekend. If you looked at all the matchups, they were all rivalries to some degree.
Yeah,
Every single one of them.
Yeah.
Now, Mitch, go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just agreeing with you.
Sure. Mitch, is there any truth to the rumor? You talked about the Anaheim Angels and how horrible they are right now. That they want to unload Mike Trout. Is there a truth to that rumor, do you think?
Haven't heard anything about it.
I'm hearing discussions about Trout.
Trout is a rare bird. He obviously wants to stay an Angel for as long as possible. He's an old school player. In fact, I heard the first year or two when he was beginning to make good money, he was still living at his parents' home. He was still living in his old bedroom. So Trout's a different breed of cat, and I've not heard anything about it. However, and he's been in a slump. He's not been hitting well, and he didn't hit well over the weekend. I think he got maybe one hit in the 3-game series. If the Angels want to start to rebuild, they would be wise from the trading deadline, the late July, to offer him to a team that needs another bat and he's still a pretty decent outfielder. But who knows if that's going to happen. But I've not heard any rumors about them trading him, at least not yet.
Too bad he hasn't won anything for
him. I was going to say, though, but the team dealing with them, what would they expect, or what would the Angels expect to get for a guy who's declining?
A couple of top AAA prospects.
Yeah, maybe.
They really need pitching. They Saturday, Jose Soriano, their best starter, walked in five and a third innings, six guys. That was the 15-2 game. We scored at one time, late in the sixth inning. We had six runs on one hit total for the game.
A lot of walks.
You only see that in Little League. Soriano got knocked around, and then yesterday this guy they got from Baltimore made his first start, Grayson Rodriguez. He's from down in your area there, Michael. He's a Texan, Nacogdoches, I think. And Dodgers knocked him around in the fourth inning and knocked him out of the game on his first start since the Angels got him.
Well, the Red Sox problem is they cannot hit. They are just awful offensively. They can pitch, and they can play D. And if they could only score three more runs a game, I think they'd be a contender. But as long as they don't do that, the Red Sox are in serious, serious trouble. They really are. It's terrible what's going on with the Red Sox.
Bob,
what do you got to think?
Well, let me just
think about
it. It's a question.
Go ahead. Well, I was just going to the National League Central. What do you guys think? That's a tight race, apparently with some good teams in that, Cubs and the Brewers and the,
don't forget the Cardinals. I was pretty impressed with them when the Dodgers played them.
Yeah,
Pittsburgh's improved.
Yeah, they're the best team. The best division in baseball, and the AL West is the worst.
Yeah.
Well, the AL Central is not that great either.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the Guardians are just about at 500 leading that division. Last I checked. I mean,
the leader in the AL West has a 500 record.
The Athletics.
Yeah. Bob, what I was going to say to you about the Red Sox, in 1965, the Dodgers won the World Series with an anemic offense. I have two phrases for you who support the Red Sox and you're one of the top pitching staffs in baseball. Bunts, stolen bases. That's how the Dodgers did it in 65.
Now, if only our front office would allow the Red Sox manager to practice that, Mitch, I'd be happy about that.
Yeah, well.
and that year, the Dodgers had a lot of speed. That's what helped them play small ball. They had a lot of speed on the bases.
Well, and my second favorite Dodger of all time, behind Koufax, Maury Wills,
yeah.
I got a chance to have lunch with at a
what
Sports
a
Fanatics luncheon. Oh, a Sports Fanatics luncheon, probably back in the late 80s or early 90s, and I sat next to him at the head table. Wonderful, wonderful human being.
Mm-hmm.
Such a deep man to have lunch with and talk baseball with.
And I got to interview him about in 1997, I'm going to say it was, because he was the color commentator for the Fargo-Moorhead Red Hawks, and I was with the St. Paul Saints, and God love him. Maury Wills gave me the best part of a half hour for our mm-hmm. program. And this is the independent ball, and I'm a blind guy. He doesn't know from Adam. And he just couldn't have been nicer. Great guy.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
Before we turn it over to our participants, I just wanted to touch on the NBA. We have the Knicks and the Cavaliers, and we have the Spurs and the Thunder. Any thoughts on where those two series are going to go? I'm predicting Knicks and Thunder.
I saw an interesting bit of information on SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. For his MVP award, this guy is in all of the categories that a guard can be tapped with. Now he's either leading or in the upper third of all of those performances, like driving to the bucket and 3-point shots and creating and all, just it's a whole plethora of different categories. He's an all-round player, and what they do to Wembanyama is going to be the key, I think, to that series, Thunder and San Antonio. How they defend him and how they treat him when he's on defense, who they run at him, I think they're going to try to get him in foul trouble.
Well, one of you guys pointed out either last week or the week before that Spurs beat the Thunder 4 out of 5 this past season. So they
yeah,
got the formula.
They've got it. But question is, what will the Thunder do differently than they did during the regular season? This is playoff time. And they've got a deep bench, so they're going to run it. They're going to run at Wimby. And then the other series, it's the guards they're touting in the other series, Cleveland and New York. The guards, Bronson and Bida. That's who they're saying that's going to be the key. But I only have one Longhorn in these four.
And you have a raised hand, Bob.
Thank you. So we're gonna turn it over shortly. Who is that Longhorn, Michael?
Jared Allen.
Oh.
Center for
Cavaliers.
Yeah, he's been scoring lots of points but unfortunately he was a one and done at Texas, but we'll still claim him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's turn our festivities over to our participants who are listening to Sports Roundtable. Apparently, people want to talk to us. That's always a good sign. So, Cindy, who do we have right now that would like to talk to us?
We have, and I think I know who this is, Zoom user.
Zoom user, Angel.
Angel, yes.
Hi, Angel.
Come on, Angel, you can do it.
Yeah, it could be me. It's Kevin, the other Zoom user.
Oh.
Kevin, how are you?
Fine. For my Southern California friends, Mitch, and Texas friends, it's 40 degrees here today and raining. So enjoy. It was 80 last week, but that's again, this is spring in Colorado.
I'm smiling, Kevin. Better you than me.
There was supposed to be a chance of snow. And if there had been, I was going to send everybody I know a picture. Just a side comment. Never let it be said the Clippers never put together a championship team. They did in Oklahoma City.
Oh.
You guys remember that trade?
How long?
They wanted to keep Devin George, so they unloaded a rookie named Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who everybody knew was already good, and 5 first-round draft choices over the last 6 years.
For Paul George, right?
For Paul George, who's not even there anymore.
The Clippers had him, had SGA? I did not remember that.
They did? I didn't listen to Clipper games, but I hear the name of the guy. And everybody knew he was going to be good right then and there. So they unloaded him and a bunch of first-round draft picks, which is most of the starting 5 of Oklahoma City right now.
Because George wanted to join Kawhi. I remember that.
Right.
They were making cahoots about that.
Right. So the Clippers have built a championship team.
So who's the worst general manager in sports, the Angels GM or the Clippers GM?
I don't know. I don't know. As far as Dodger, you know, as far as, I caught a couple of Dodgers games and, yeah, the Angels are a good cure for anybody having a slump right now.
There are probably a couple of AAA clubs that could beat them.
And I agree with you, Mitch, on Trout. Actually, if he ever wants a shot at the playoffs, he really should ask to be traded to somebody who could use his experience. He'd be worth a couple of, he'd be worth some draft picks or prospects for somebody.
I feel bad for Trout. What has he won? What has he won since he's been an Angel?
Well, when you're on a team that loses all the time, it's hard to win MVPs or defensive player. I think he was all defense a few times as a center fielder.
By the way, Kevin, if for some reason you switch allegiances to the Rockies from the Dodgers, the Albuquerque Isotopes played Oklahoma City this past week. The Isotopes are leading the alleged Eastern Division, whatever they call it, of the PCL. They've got some good young players on that Albuquerque team.
That's so, what some friends here. Oh, that's good. That's what some of the people I talk to here who follow them say. Oh, they're young. Give them a couple more years.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, still. At least better than last year. Oh, when you mentioned pitchers, Mitch, that the Dodgers have, Ohtani's still a starter.
Yeah, but the Dodgers, because they have three Japanese pitchers,
mm-hmm.
what they really are trying to do is give these guys 5 or 6 days rest, which requires you to have
at least
a six-man rotation.
Rotation.
Yeah, and, you know, we've, Glasnow may be back in a couple of weeks. Snell, we don't know. He has the surgery tomorrow. So we didn't think the Dodgers were short on starting pitching, but it's beginning to look that way.
That's too bad. And one final thought. When you said the Dodgers did it with bunts and speed, I remember, but they also knew if they could put together two or three runs, most of the time they were going to win that game.
Well, they also, you know, they did, but, you know, everybody by now has heard, Sandy's no hitter and how they got the one run, on one hit, but Henley, had a no hitter going into, I forget what inning. So, you know, that was the Dodger run was a walk. In fact, this is how he scored a lot of runs, a walk. A steal of second, a ground ball to third, or maybe a sacrifice to second and a steal of third, and then home on a fly ball.
Well, I'll top that one. Game three of the 63 series, it was, I think, a walk, a wild pitch, and a single that had eyes, and that was the only run of the game.
Yep.
Anything else, Kevin?
No, just... You know, glad to talk to you guys. Keep it up and, come visit Colorado sometime if you get too warm there.
We might have to do that, Kevin.
Okay.
Thanks, Kevin. We appreciate your contribution.
Take care.
Anybody else, Cindy?
No, sir.
All right. Let us know when that changes. Yeah. So
everybody.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, go ahead. I was going to talk about Aaron Rodgers.
Yes, go right ahead. Oh my goodness. Signed again with the Steelers. Yes.
Mr. Moody. That really ought to be his last name. It should be Aaron Rodgers Moody. I guess, finally decided to sign and, he's going to be reunited with Mike McCarthy, from their Green Bay days. So, that should be interesting. Instead of the Steelers being 5-12, now they'll be 8-9, or maybe 9-8, if they're lucky.
Well, my question is, when do you move on from these old guys? I mean, when will the Steelers start? You got to rebuild. When do you start rebuilding the team? You got to retool that team. You can't, to me, you can't put a team around Aaron Rodgers. You got to start. You got to take your lumps and get the newest up and coming quarterback. Let's say they did go 8 and 9, you're in the middle of the draft. You're not going to get an elite quarterback in the draft unless you trade for somebody.
Michael, most of the pundits agree with you, but the Steelers, maybe the fans won't allow it. Maybe they won't accept it. I don't know, but most of the folks, most of the sports talking heads absolutely agree that they've got to get worse before they get better. And the Rooneys and their brain trust doesn't think that's necessary.
Well, I mean, there's no love lost for Pittsburgh, so that's their choice.
Indeed.
And Murray is with the Vikings.
Yeah, we said last week that what they're saying out of Minnesota is he and what's his name, the
JJ McCarthy.
They're gonna have a real contest for number one.
No, we didn't have one here. So take out. Let's get out of here.
Well, I don't know.
That's going to be an interesting situation there, for Minnesota.
I don't think they have enough in their backfield. They've got three outstanding receivers. They've got an old number one because he got beat up playing for the Packers. I think. Whoever the quarterback is, better plan on throwing 40 times a game.
What do you think's going to happen with A.J. Brown? Any ideas?
If Stephon Diggs doesn't re-sign with the Bills, Brown will go either to Buffalo or still, it's hard to say where he's going, but I think Buffalo is still the first landing spot, but
word I'm hearing is the Patriots after June 2nd.
Yeah, that would make sense.
How do you feel
too
about that, Bob?
I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the
Despite
Patriots
antics.
Yeah, the one thing they don't have is a prima donna. Every NFL team needs a prima donna receiver. So, AJ's your man.
Now, why are they saying June 2nd? Is there a reason why people say, well, you have to wait till June 2nd?
It's an important date in the NFL calendar, and I don't remember what it is. But
yeah, it has something to do with contract.
Does it have to do with OTAs also? You got to have everybody in place by OTA?
Well, the OTAs are already happening starting. But it is something to do with the contracts, June 2nd. You can release players. In fact, a lot of the releases that we've heard, and I follow it closely because of my fantasy involvement, but a lot of these players that you've heard have been cut aren't officially cut until June 2nd.
By the way, there were two tragedies last week, and we haven't talked about them yet. The former player in the NBA, Jason Collins, dead at 47 from brain cancer.
Oh, I hadn't heard about that.
And then Clark from the Grizzlies. They think
he
it might
have died of a drug overdose.
Yes, 27 years old.
Yeah.
No, I hadn't heard about Jason Collins.
Jason Collins passed away also.
Yeah, the Collins twins used to terrorize USC and everybody else in the Pac-12 because they played for Stanford.
Now, who was Jason's brother?
Also started with a J. And I'm not remembering, but he actually played with the Lakers briefly. And I can't think of his, but it was Jay something Collins.
Okay. They were twins.
Yeah.
Don, any women's news that you have for us today? There you are.
And yes, we had a weekend. because the super regionals, well, not the supers, the regionals were going on. The supers are next weekend. And Texas A&M, for the second year in a row, got beat early. And really, they were, both these last 2 years, they were supposed to go a lot further than they did. Last year, Liberty beat them. And this year, it was a much more respectable Arizona State ball club that beat them. Some teams that are going to the Supers, Oklahoma is, Oklahoma State is, Tennessee is, University of Florida is, and on a more local note, my own alma mater, both of the softball and baseball in Division III, where they play things sooner than they do at the D1 level. We're going to the Supers in both baseball and softball, and I hope we host in softball, which we should have, but we did not earlier on. The baseball has never hosted because we don't have lights.
Hearing JuJu is making a comeback.
I had heard that last week on this program. I hope that's what happens.
JuJu's coming back, and we got a good entering freshman class. So USC and UCLA may be battling in the Final Four next year. I was going to say, Don, as closely as you follow women's basketball.
Yeah.
Speaking of bad general managers, apparently, one of the two new franchises in the WNBA, the Toronto Tempo, in their first game last night, beat the LA Sparks.
How do you like that? That's a shocker. Considering the team is named for one of the worst cars Ford ever made, the Tempo.
Ford Tempo.
Yes, I remember that.
My old broadcast partner had one of those, and to show you what a bad car it was, he gave me my first and one of only two driving lessons in it. I guess he was hoping I'd smash it up so he could get another one.
Yeah, but your insurance carrier wouldn't have believed him.
Never.
Or would have canceled the policy.
Yeah.
Any hockey thoughts? We've got some playoffs going on in hockey at the moment. I don't know how this playoff will end. Hockey is very unpredictable, as we all know.
I'm afraid that once the Kings got knocked out, and of course the Ducks got knocked out too, but once the Kings got knocked out, I move on, which is kind of actually how I feel about NBA basketball. But I don't even know who's going to be in the Stanley Cup Finals. Is Carolina one of them?
I think Carolina's still in it. I think the Avalanche is still in it.
The Avalanche, to me, are the best team in the NHL. But as you said, it doesn't matter because things are so unpredictable.
Yeah. Now, I have always said, well, not always, but I've lately said that hockey is the best-run sport of all the professional sports, if I had to pick one. You don't hear much in hockey. You don't have much drama in hockey as you do with the other three sports, generally speaking, I mean. I know there are exceptions always, but to me, Gary Bettman is doing what he can to keep that sport afloat without much incident. That's only my observation, though.
Bob, I want to be a little careful how I say this.
Okay.
Because the vast majority of hockey players, it used to be 99% were Canadian, but I still think the majority of professional hockey players are Canadians. I think Canadian athletes are different from American athletes. I don't think they're quite as spoiled, as entitled. And you know, the example I can think of outside of hockey is the aforementioned Freddie Freeman. Even though he was born in Orange County down the road a piece, both his parents were from Canada. And I really think it has something to do with the difference between Canadian young people and young athletes and how they're raised and how too many of our American athletes, the young folks are raised. But, you know, that's just me and, you know, that's just how I see it.
are you talking about how our young athletes, American athletes, grow up loving a sport, but they see dollar signs?
Yep. And they're told how wonderful they are from seventh grade on.
Yeah. Yeah. You can make lots of money, son.
In college.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, now they're starting to pay college athletes more than ever.
Millions of dollars.
Here in this country.
Yeah. I mean, that's, and there may, and maybe it's because Bettman, the NHL, they do have a different relationship, a more congenial relationship with their players association than the other three sports. But I think some of it has to do with culture, with how Canadian youngsters are raised.
We have 7 minutes, Bob.
Okay. Thank you, Cindy. You have a point there, Mitch. I mean, but even the American hockey players are not, you don't notice much about,
you don't
hear much about their contracts. They get what they get. You don't hear much about holding. I shouldn't say that. Jeremy Swayman held out, I think, for a month or two when he re-signed with the Bruins, but you don't hear much in hockey all the way across the board about that kind of. I don't know. To me, and you may have a point there, Mitch, about the Canadians. I'm not sure about their upbringing, but they're in a different culture, like you said. They're in a different country, different atmosphere. I don't know what the financial demands are or the expectations are in Canada, because I'm not there. But you may be onto something.
I mean, I've only been to Canada 3 times, including last summer, the last day of our cruise, we were in Victoria. And even with all the political shenanigans here in the States toward Canada, they are just nice people. They really are nice people. And just, you know, it's just, you get a sense when you go somewhere about the people in a particular place, and you just get the sense that they're a different just have a different mindset.
Any thoughts on the World Cup?
Well, they're changing our stadium. It's not NRG Stadium. It's going to be Houston Stadium. They brought in the grass. They unrolled it. They have a fake lights to keep it growing, and they tend it every day. And so we're waiting. We're about a month out from the first soccer match here at Houston Stadium.
They're doing the same thing to SoFi. In fact, they're taking out some seats because a soccer pitch is wider than a football field. The concern that some of us have here is security, because one of the teams playing in Los Angeles will be the Iranian team, and this LAPD hasn't when I worked for the city of LA, we had 9,000 officers. And I've been retired 18 years, and they still have 9,000 officers. And I don't think there are enough Secret Service agents in the world, or enough State Highway Patrol folks to keep the lid on things if something goes sideways. So that's what our concern here is, that the Iranian team, Iran wanted to have the games moved out of the U.S. altogether to Mexico, and FIFA denied it. So as far as I know, unless they choose to forfeit, we're going to be hosting Iran.
Why did FIFA deny it?
Don't know. I didn't hear why, but they did.
Well, I think security is a question in all the cities. They've talked about it here, you know, in addition to trying to spruce up the city and make everything look good. Security is a big question mark. So, I think that They're doing the same thing in Dallas. They're doing the same thing here in Houston and other cities around the country.
Yeah, I've heard about security too. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, we'll see what happens. But the way I look at it, it's a soccer match. It's got nothing to do with politics or wars or anything like that. This is a game. This is a sport between the people of each of the two countries in combat, the citizenry of the countries in combat.
Mr. Branko, you obviously don't follow, and I don't follow soccer closely.
Neither do I.
You know, if you even pay slight attention to football, that two teams in South America and Central America fights to the death among the fans aren't all that uncommon.
Well, even in Europe. In Europe.
And in Europe, too. Absolutely.
Yes. I've heard some real...
Bob, we got a minute.
Knockdown, dragouts in European soccer matches.
Well, that's a good point, too. If you're talking about fans, yes. I was talking about the players themselves. But, yeah, I understand what you're saying, and I haven't heard incidents like that before. Yes, I have. But I think we need to wrap it up. It's been a great show. Peter, we missed you. Hopefully you're okay. And, of course, Luther, we're always saying prayers for you, too, and hopefully you will be recuperating soon from your voice issues, so to speak. I'm not sure what the problem really is yet, but we are praying for you. Thanks, everyone. Go safe with God's abundant blessings, and you have a great week, everyone.
Journal is supported in part by the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind. We are a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network.
This is Bird Note. Many flowers roll out the red carpet for desired visitors like hummingbirds and bumblebees, with bright colors and petals that act as landing pads. But flowers are sometimes victims of nectar thieves, species that bypass the flower's intended route to nectar without picking up any pollen. Tennessee warblers might not look like crafty robbers. They're tiny yellowish songbirds with a white stripe over their eyes, but they specialize in hacking into flowers. With their short, sharp bills, they tap a hole into the flower's base and enjoy an easy meal as nectar drips out. Tennessee warblers do most of their nectar drinking in tropical forests on their wintering grounds. During the breeding season in North America, insects are their most important food source. In fact, these warblers may help protect trees from spruce budworm. When there's a budworm outbreak, Tennessee warblers eat almost nothing else. So these nectar thieves give back to their ecosystems in their own way. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. Tom and Annalie Luman celebrate Bird Note with today's show. They believe Bird Note stories are a magical doorway to nature and all of its wonders.
Are you a senior who is dealing with vision loss? Would you like to learn about advocacy efforts on behalf of seniors who are blind? And about support calls, where you can talk with other seniors who are also dealing with vision loss? If so, join us, the Alliance on Aging and Vision Loss, an affiliate of the American Council of the Blind. To learn more, visit our website, www.aavl-blind.org.